Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long on this end. Dan Burns over there. He is an ASC-certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which may get a little bit of snow today. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning, Denny Long.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am just fine. I was looking at the forecast and the current conditions. We've gone from 32 to 30 degrees now. And you and I, every year at this time, we start bringing up the subject of driving in snow, snow tires. I was reading an article just yesterday about, preparing for wintertime driving. And I did not yet, and maybe won't this year, maybe I'll gamble, did not get snow tires. But generally speaking, they're a good deal to have, I know, and in this part of the country. But can you get along, for the most part, with the all-season, good all-season tires?
I think you can. There's a few days where the ice and snow are significant. Not even the snow so much, but the ice. For example, in the spring when the wet snow falls, and as soon as you drive on it, packs it right down and turns it to ice. And when you're driving in those conditions, that's when snow tires make a big difference. And if you have to drive on those few days where you need them, it's a big deal. And then when you think about the fact that it for sure makes you much safer on the road, it's probably a wise investment too.
Yeah. If you're going to live and drive a lot here,
yeah,
that probably would be a good investment. If you have any kind of a car or truck or van issue and you need to bring in your vehicle for service to your favorite shop, your favorite dealer, and you want to know maybe what's ailing, why don't you give Dan a call or send Dan a text, whichever is easier. Same number, 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. But I urge you, don't wait. Dan takes his leave about 7:45, so about another half hour, Dan will be with us to answer those car care questions. So send a text or give Dan a call, 651-461-9226. I was thinking that, well, I'll tell you what, let me grab this text. They're starting to come in kind of heavy, Dan. Good morning. This one says, I plan on changing the brakes on my 2014 Jeep. I have changed brakes many times on other cars many years ago. Anything I should know about this particular vehicle? Thanks.
No, I think if you've done brakes before, I think that you'll be comfortable with a Jeep. There's nothing, a 2014 Jeep, there's nothing special or different about that. Be sure. An important part of the brake job, don't forget, is cleaning all of the slides, getting all the rust and everything off of the contact points of the pads and rotors. So, one of the important things is to be sure that you get everything cleaned up properly. But if you've done brakes in the past, you should find nothing different on a 2014 Jeep.
Oh, okay, good. This one's kind of scattered, so bear with me. Obviously a listener, great taste. Greatest show ever. Uh-huh. 2010 Silverado is the issue here, 4x4. Has been sitting for 2 to 3 years, changing front brake pads and rotors. One person says it's okay not to change out the brake fluid, but another person says, change it out. What to do? Do you change out all the fluids, transmission, transfer case, etc.? It's only 37,000 miles on it. What do you think?
Well, if you're doing brakes, we always change the brake fluid. We always flush the brake fluid when we do a brake job. So I agree with that you should do the brake fluid when you do the brakes. the brake fluid actually is, if you're patient, is not that difficult to do, because before you push the pistons on the brake calipers back, you should open the brake bleeders anyway. And when you get done, if you just open the brake bleeders, all four brake bleeders on all four wheels, and let them gravity bleed, the fluid will slowly flow through the system, and you keep the reservoir full of clean, fresh brake fluid. And if you're patient, it takes a while for it all to drain through. But if you do that, you can flush your brake fluid that way. And it's simple and easy. And the difference will be that old brake fluid, and it's simple and easy. And the difference will be that old brake fluid for some reason attracts moisture. Just because of the way that it's made, it's a water-soluble or water-based thing, and so it mixes with water and it attracts water. And you don't want water in the hydraulic system. It causes corrosion of all your brake parts, and it also causes the hydraulic fluid to compress a little bit, which means your brakes don't work quite as well either. Mm. So, yeah. So go ahead and change the brake fluid. That's a great idea. As far as the rest of the fluids, I would do those on the manufacturer's recommendation. If they're due at 30,000 miles, you should do them. If not, I wouldn't worry about it until they're due on scheduled maintenance.
All right, very good. Thanks for that. Let's grab a phone call from Jerry, who's calling in from Minnetonka this morning. Jerry, you're on CCO with Dan Burns.
Good morning, Dan. I love your show. I was gonna say, I got a 2006 Chevy Impala SF. 5.3 motor, 150 miles. It's been used, has mobile one synthetic. I'd like to change it over to Valvoline to 5.3 high mileage regular oil. Is that a bad thing?
Well, I think in 06, they were not recommending synthetic oil. That was not part of the manufacturer's suggested uses of a synthetic oil. So I think to switch to a Valvoline oil, if you're more comfortable with that, is great. I don't know, other than the price, I don't know why you would do that. I think Mobile One is, you know, certainly one of the best motor oils on the market. And I don't see a great reason for changing, but if for some reason you're more comfortable with Valvoline, then that would be just fine. You should go ahead and do that.
All right. Let's take a quick break here, Dan. Invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. Do you have a car, truck, van issue and you want to find out what the heck could be ailing? Call Dan or send Dan a text, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we've hit 30 degrees now. Even 30 degrees, it's overcast. Might hit highs near 34, chance of rain and snow this afternoon. You stay tuned to News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Ask the Mechanic. It's our car care show. Denny Long here with ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Exactly. Narrow that address down for us, Dan.
Well, come on over, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give a call as soon as this morning. Nick will be here. 651-228-1316.
I'll see you one of these days. I think my wife's truck is due for an oil change, so I'll come knocking one of these days.
Sounds good.
Let's see. We have texters, and if you want to call in your question, same number, 651-461-9226. Dan will be with us till close to 7:45 this morning when we invite Jack Farrell in. All right. Here's one, 2018 Chevy Colorado 8-speed automatic, 45,000 miles. Texter says they bought it at 37,000 miles. Shortly after, the transmission had a shutter at around 1,500 RPM. Chevy then changed the transmission fluid. Shutter pretty much went away. Well, now at 1500 RPM, it seems to stumble when trying to shift up or down. At times, kind of like it slams into gear when it does shift. It does not stumble at a higher RPM when shifting. Thank you for your ideas.
Yeah, you know, I guess I would take it back to Chevy and ask them what their opinion of that is. I always tell my customers and people listening to the show, when something changes, you're the best judge of, you know, is something wrong? And if something's different than it used to be, usually something is wrong. So, you know, I think the person that drives the car is the best judge. And so if you were standing at my counter, I would say, well, there probably is something wrong. You've noticed a change in things, and that's probably not normal. Maybe it is, but it's probably not normal. So I think I would take another run at that with the manufacturer and see what they have as far as service bulletins and extended warranties. And I know they've had a little trouble with their transmissions and their torque converters anyway, and maybe you have something going on in there that does need attention.
Okay. Here's an interesting question from a listener. It says, when installing new tires, how important is it to align the tires, or should we simply balance and save the extra money?
Well, I think an alignment, I think a check on your alignment periodically is a good idea. And for a lot of reasons, you know, for control and safety and all of those things. But the other thing is tires have gotten so darn expensive. Anything that you can do to extend the life of your tires is probably a good investment. So, you know, if you ask me, should I get my car, if your car is in my bay and you ask me if I should get my tires aligned, I can tell you, well, that looking at your old tires, I can see that there's no significant abnormal wear or anything like that. And when I drive the car, it goes straight down the road and the steering wheel is straight. But what I don't know is there some sort of subtle adjustment that has changed that I'm not aware of or you're not aware of, and the car is not showing it to us. And the only way to know that for sure is to actually put it on the alignment rack and read it out and, you know, and then make maybe a minor adjustment so that the alignment is perfect.
Okay.
So I think it's good maintenance.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones, Dan. Go to Springfield this time. Hillary is there with a question. Hillary, good morning. You're on with Dan Burns.
Yeah, Dan. See, I have a 2010 Toyota Corolla. The latch will not open the trunk up by the seat. Okay. There is a key activator that has to be turned when I put the key into the trunk. Then I can open the trunk. Just what is the problem there?
Well, that's good. It's good news that you can get into the trunk, because oftentimes that's our problem. The latch stops working, and then we have to crawl back there and somehow gain access to the latch from the inside of the car and get it opened. So the good news is that with the key, yours still works, which means the latch and the key and all that are all fine. What's wrong is the button itself, and I'm not sure if it's a mechanical button or an electric button, but either way, something in that system has failed, and the repair process is going to be to remove that inner trunk panel, which looks like a big deal, but it's not that big a deal. So we get that inner trunk panel off and gain access to the latch and all that, and at that point we do some testing and see what part is not working. You know, the latch has some sort of a activator that oftentimes it's electric, and sometimes that the wires in the trunk itself maybe have frayed and broken loose or something like that, so it's not getting power anymore. But But if somebody gets in there and does some checking, they'll quickly be able to figure out what's wrong and give you an estimate on what you should do.
All right. Very good. Let's have a break and look at that forecast. See what's coming up here this weekend and this coming week here in the Twin Cities and surrounding areas. Stay with us. More Car Care on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here along with ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We'll get you that, that phone number before Dan leaves us, which will be in a few minutes. Goes by rather quickly. Dan, let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave today. 2007 Infiniti, a lot of squealing, replaced the belt, squealing continued, and then the new belt broke. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it sounds like you have a, like one of the pulleys or something is not turning. And so as long as the belt is broken and off of there, then reach down and touch and turn each of the pulleys and see which one of them isn't turning. And you'll need to replace that tensioner or pulley and then put a new belt on and you'll be ready to go.
All right. Here's an interesting question. We were talking about snow tires earlier. Does the age of the driver matter as it relates to your thoughts regarding getting or not getting snow tires? For example, Texter says, older drivers or younger first-time drivers? Interesting question.
Yeah, well, I think that's probably true, although I think us middle-aged people should probably get them too because, you know, we all get into an emergency situation that requires a response, and I think that snow tires will benefit any of us. And the good news is, Denny, that with the latest technology that's come out in snow tires, they're lasting a little bit longer. They have a little bit better longevity, I think. And it's not quite as important as it used to be to, for example, not drive them on hot, dry pavement and things like that. I think that they're making improvements with regards to that. So, I think snow tires benefit everybody. My own hesitation on snow tires is I don't want to store them, and I don't want to have to switch them out every spring and fall season. But they're certainly better on snow and ice than all season tires.
I know a lot of people that swear by them. Although we had a caller or texter rather taking issue saying I've never used them and it's too much of a hassle, and that's fine. And
that's... You know that a lot of the high performance vehicles that are out on the road nowadays have a very high performance tire for the summer tires, and they are totally worthless in snow, even if they are all wheel drive. So on a vehicle like that, you for sure have to switch them out and put some tires on.
Oh, yes. Had some experience with that.
Yeah.
This listener says, WCCU help, any tips on adjusting new headlights?
Well, they're not all that adjustable unless something's happened. If you've been in some sort of little fender bender or something and for some reason they're not pointing the direction that they should anymore. But it's pretty rare that in our business, now in an auto body business, they do headlight adjustment all the time, but it's pretty rare that we do them here because, first of all, oftentimes the adjusters aren't all that accessible like they used to be. And the machines that you use to hook to the headlights to adjust them there's so many shapes of headlights anymore that the machines have gotten very complicated. And so it's just not that common anymore. So I would wonder why they need adjustments if the vehicle has not been crashed a little bit.
Yeah, makes sense. I think we have time for one more, then we've got to run. Listener said their husband passed on recently, so they're on their own. They have a 97 Dodge Ram sitting in the garage for over a year, has not been run. First of all, is that good for it? They ask, and is there anything they should do before it's back on the road next summer?
Yeah, well, you should probably, if it's been put away for a year already, you should get somebody to help you and get it running this season before the snow flies and all that. It is not good for a vehicle to sit too long. So that would be my recommendation, would be to get it running now before the gas and all that stuff gets too old. Put some stabilizer in the gas tank and, you know, some gas stabilizer and put some miles on it before you put it away and store it for the winter.
Good idea. Good luck with that. Dan, we have to run. Always a pleasure. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's Automotive?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Thank you, Dan. Have a good week, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat is straight ahead. Keep in mind, in the 10 o'clock hour this morning, if you have a dog or cat at home, you can ask the vet. Dr. Gene Geske will be helping you out in the 10 o'clock hour this morning here on Newstalk A30 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.